T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
With the great John Harris. John, what's up, my man? You having a good afternoon?
Well, any day that includes football practice is a good afternoon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Days that don't, those aren't good days.
No, they aren't.
Unless it's a game.
But you were at practice and today, and it just got over, I don't know, a little over a half hour ago. Give me a couple of takeaways. You know, we were not able to be there, practice at 1, show at 2. So give us a couple of takeaways, man.
Yeah, I'll be honest, not a whole heck of a lot. It actually was kind of a more game plan practice than anything else, kind of getting the team used to what they will do during the week of a regular season week and getting rookies used to, okay, this is how we do things once we get to a regular season game. So it's not a full-on prepare for the Cowboys sort of thing, but they are getting themselves ready to play on Saturday night a little bit. So kind of giving that trial run, if you will, for what they've got to be able to do throughout the season. But I'll tell you this, and I heard you guys talking about this a little bit a few minutes ago. Duke Johnson's going to be really exciting. I mean, really exciting to watch. And I don't know what the full plan will be, but if what they're showing in practice is any indication, they're going to try and get the ball to Duke Johnson in a number of different ways, which I like. The guy's got juice. I think there's a way you can play both Lamar Miller and Duke Johnson on the field together, which I am a complete and total fan of. One of my biggest pet peeves in football is one of my biggest pet peeves, and it dates way back before 2005 USC. But USC in 2005 had two of the best running backs. They were two of the best players on their team in Lendale White and Reggie Bush. And for some reason, they couldn't figure out how to put both of them on the field together. Like, put them on the field together. Figure it out. And that's why I feel like with Lamar Miller and Duke Johnson, look, you've got weapons in Hopkins, Fuller, QT, tight ends. Like, you've got weapons. But these guys are going to be two of your better offensive weapons. Find a way to get them on the field together and figure it out, getting Lamar Miller and Duke Johnson on the field together.
John Harris, football analyst for the Houston Texans, radio and TV, by the way, big time. John Harris, we appreciate you joining. Clinton Campbell, man, talk to me about the elephant in the room, man. Matt Khalil, 7 days essentially, or let's just call it a week, since he's been on the practice field. I know we've talked a ton about it, but today, again, he's not on the field. Any update, any concern? What's your personal take on what's going on with the guy that's been tabbed, the starter, at left tackle for the Houston Texans?
Well, Clint, you know more than anybody. You know what this league is about. It's about three words: next man up. And that's kind of what it is. And unfortunately, today there were, you know, one of the linemen ended up getting injured in practice. One of the younger guys with the threes, he ended up getting injured in practice and he had to go off the field. And you just start thinking, okay, yeah, he's a three, but it just kind of exemplifies the thought of next guy up. Whatever's going on, injury, not injury, not here, whatever the case might be. Roderick Johnson is stepping into the void at left tackle right now and did a pretty solid job against the Lions. And look, you've got to do it for longer than a week and longer than just a game. But the way that Rod has played throughout this training camp, and I said this the other day, but 2 or 3 days into training camp, I saw him walking off the field as I was kind of walking off the field, and I walked up to him and I said, look, Rod, where you are today, where you were last year, light years difference. I mean, from what he was when he left Florida State to what he was last year to what he is now is almost a completely different football player. But you're talking about a guy with long arms, with strong hands. I mean, my hands are pretty big. I've got 10-inch hands. His hands swallow mine. Strong guy, and a guy that, And a buddy and I use this phrase. We're talking about offensive linemen, and sometimes when you start analyzing offensive linemen, you start getting too cute. Well, his foot's too far this way, or his hand is this, you know. Because sometimes it comes down to, do you get a guy blocked or not? And that's what Rod's been doing. He's been getting guys blocked. And hopefully he continues that and continues to put pressure on everybody having to make a decision on what's going to happen with that particular position at left tackle. So I don't know. I mean, I I wish that we did know what's going on with Matt, but so be it. Next man up. Next man up right now is Roderick Johnson. And we'll see what Rod's able to do against the Cowboys. I don't know if he'll see DeMarcus Lawrence or the even Tyrone Crawford jumping out there. I don't know if he'll see any of those guys on Saturday. But hopefully they'll get a couple of good drives with Rod in there and see what he can do. The Lions, they don't have anybody on the outside. I mean, Trey Flowers is their best guy on the outside. And he didn't do anything against the Texans all week in practice. They just got him off NFI. So there wasn't really anyone to really test them. I think the Cowboys, if they play their guys, and even if they don't play Lawrence, they still got some guys that can get after it a little bit. That'll be a good test for Rod. And I think the one thing that, and I think Sean and Wade and Cecil talked about this, and I know you guys have talked about this. You know, one of the things Deshaun Watson likes to do is he likes to go empty. Deshaun Watson likes to go empty. And when you go empty, that's 5-on-4. And the one thing last year that was a kind of a red flag was the Texans gave up at least 32 sacks against 4-man rushes last year. That can't happen. So if Deshaun wants to be back there and empty, then they've got to prove that they can hold up against a 4-man rush. Now, they did against the Lions. But now, can they do it against a team like the Cowboys? Can they do it against a team like the Saints? They can do that. This offense can do whatever it wants this year.
John, talk to us a little bit about that Cowboy game, man. Third preseason game of the year. I mean, for the most part, typically starters play longer, sometimes even into the second half. And I don't want you to guess on what Bill O'Brien's going to do, but just the opportunity that is the third preseason game of the year, the game where – I think a lot of decisions will be made definitely on who's going to start, who's not going to start, and not just for Roderick Johnson, but across right. the board, the opportunity that is week three of the preseason for NFL squads.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, when we were, you know, playing football in Clinton, when you were playing, it was pretty set what you did with the preseason. Game number one, starters played a little bit, maybe a series, maybe two. Depending on how that series one went. Next game, they would play probably a quarter, maybe even a quarter and a half. Third game, they played almost all the way on into the third quarter. And then fourth game, nobody played because obviously they had to, you know, take a look at some guys that they want to get down the 53-man roster. 32 teams now have a different idea how they want to handle those four games. And last year, I remember going to L.A. And before the game, we're playing the Rams. It was game three. And you know game four, you're not seeing anybody. So, game three, before the game, I see Jared Goff, and I see Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods, and they're starting tight ends, and they're going through this elaborate, long passing session before the game. I mean, it's probably 35 minutes. I mean, it's going on for a while. Goff must have thrown probably 100 passes, and I'm thinking, well, he's not playing. So, at that point, I'm going, well, that means that those guys who didn't play in games one or two didn't play at all in game three. So they didn't play at all in the preseason. Todd Gurley didn't play at all in the preseason. And then everybody was all up in arms at the end of the year that he was all banged up. So the Rams did it one way. Different teams will do it different ways. I mean, last year, Deshaun played in the preseason games, I thought in large part because coming off the ACL, he probably needed to. He probably needed to experience the game speed a little bit, see how he'd react to all that, maybe take a hit here or there to see how that was going to feel, so he was ready for week one. I think week three is a little different now, but I do think that we will see guys that we haven't seen. I think, you know, last year, I want to say in week three, everybody played. I remember Tyrann Mathieu staring into the camera going, "I'm playing today, baby!" And Jonathan Joseph played for a little while, and Kareem Jackson played for a little while last year. JJ got a few plays in that game against the Rams. I think the only person that didn't play, if I remember correctly, was Clowney. But that was it. Everybody played at least a little bit. And I think the offense went maybe two series in that game. I would expect them to go probably two series with Deshaun. I don't know if Will Fuller will play. I know he wants to, which is good. But I feel like there's still some guys they got to evaluate, especially at that position, to figure out what they want to do, how many receivers they're going to carry. So I wouldn't mind seeing Will play for about three plays, maybe get him a little hitch, maybe get him on a go route, see what happens, get him off the field, and just get a few plays and then get off and then, hey, we're putting you in bubble wrap until September 9th. But I think you'll see the number one offensive line. I think you'll see Deshaun for a series, maybe two. I do think you'll see Lamar Miller and Duke Johnson. I think you'll see Duke for a little bit longer just so he gets accustomed to hearing the offensive play calls and the huddle, all that kind of stuff. But you won't see him for much – longer than that, I don't think. But you will see the ones for a little bit. But it's not like it was back in the day where they're playing all the way on to the third quarter. That's not going to happen.
Stay right where you are, Houston. I know you got to go into the grocery store. You got to get a melon. No. Stay in your car right now because John Harris is hanging out with Clint and Kamla. Make it an appointment every Wednesday at 3:35, baby. Follow him at J Harris Football, Texans Radio TV, and Texans.com. A terrific writer, by the way. So I have a theory on the running backs, and it became a little clearer to me watching the game on Saturday as this thing crystallizes a little bit. If Lamar Miller and Duke Johnson are healthy, I believe, John, that they're going to sap 90 to 95% of the touches in the regular season. So I believe that RB3 is more about special teams than having upside in terms of what you do when you have the ball. So I think in terms of making the ball club, that Jones and Howell are ahead of Crockett and Higdon for that reason. Am I nuts or are you buying my theory?
No, I don't think you're crazy at all. Well, you might be crazy, but you're not crazy because of that. That's not what's going to end up making you crazy, because I think this is probably – I can think of a few teams where the third running back – you know, the Eagles a few years ago, 2 years ago, 2017. Now, they used three running backs and used them all pretty well. The Patriots will use three running backs and use them all pretty well. But in looking – just going by last year as a little bit of a gauge, Lamar had 210 carries – Alfred Blue had 150, and Deshaun had 99. No other player on the roster had more than seven, and Deontay Foreman had that in one game. So I do think that it'll be kind of a two-headed monster. Now, here's – I want to make sure I say this properly. Do we know for sure what position Duke Johnson plays? And I won't go any further with that. I'm just gonna leave it there, because he catches the ball pretty well. So is he receiver? Is he running back? I know the position in the program will say running back, but how is he treated? So I do think there might be an opportunity for a third running back to get some carries, but not many at all. That could be a number of different guys. And I do think that Buddy Howell is going to be in that mix. And Wade Smith asked me the question post-game the other night. He said, if I could get one of three, he said, you get either Tyron Johnson, Jarrell Adams, or Buddy Howell. One of those guys is going to make the roster. And I said, I'll take Buddy, because I know for a fact that Buddy is going to give me something special on teams. He's going to be special on teams. I know that for a fact. Jarrell Adams has been outstanding, and Tyron Johnson's been very, very good. And Tyron Johnson might give me something on kickoff return. He might do that. But if my three guys are healthy at wide receiver, I don't know how much time he's going to see. But I know Buddy Howell is going to be on all four special teams. He was a star last year on special teams. And he's kind of a bruiser. I mean, we saw it the other night against Detroit. So I do think that Buddy ends up being, you know, the third running back. Now the question becomes, and this is how tough it ends up being, like, what are your numbers? Because do you have room to keep four tight ends, five receivers, and three running backs plus a fullback, or four running backs plus a fullback? Because Tywan Jones is pretty darn good on special teams too, and he's a vet. So, well, you got that in the mix. So I just feel like Buddy gives you something a little bit different from Lamar and Duke. Those guys are decent, and they're decent-sized guys, and they'll run between the tackles because they're built that way. But Buddy's just a whole different ball of wax. But I just feel like Caron Higdon and Demario Crockett have been very good this camp. I think the running back position has surprised a lot of people, to be honest. I think the running backs have been a whole lot better than people expected. Is there a Zeke Elliott? No. Is there a Ty Gurley? No. But you have guys in this backfield that are going to make plays and impact this offense. And I think that's what you want. So, Rick, I do think you're right. I do think that Duke Johnson and Lamar Miller are going to get the lion's share of the touches out of the backfield, which makes me think that Buddy Howell is absolutely a factor on this team in 2019 and gives them a little bit of a power run game stance. You know, maybe in the fourth quarter you get to a point where you want to pound the rock a little bit, and maybe Buddy ends up being that guy. Maybe that's where he ends up getting the carries in a four-minute offense. So I don't know. If given the choice, I pick Buddy Howell of those three. And when I asked Andre Ware and John McClain, they all said Buddy Howell as well. Because of that reason, he'll give you something on special teams, with the caveat that he can run the rock as well, and he proved that the other night against Detroit.
John Harris with the Texans joining us. John, we're up. We got a couple of minutes left, man. Talk to us about the tight end group. Jarrell Adams is making his thing interesting, and he's making himself some money somewhere. I don't know if it's here, but somewhere. And then the Y position, hand in the dirt, attached to the tackle. Obviously, Jordan Thomas is back. Fails is doing a hell of a job. How do you see this thing unfolding? How many are they keeping? And who do you have on the roster after the 31st of this month?
Well, I said after the draft, after they drafted Kyler Waring, I said immediately they're going to keep four. I just felt like with Fells, the leadership that he brings, I just felt like that was value in and of itself. And then you watch Fells on the field and you see him block and you see him run routes, and he's caught the ball very well outside of one day where he kind of had the drops early on in camp. And about a week and a half through camp, I'm like, well, you can't get rid of Fells. I mean, he's been awesome. He's been really good. And then Jordan Thomas, I mean, the arrow is pointing way up on that guy. And then Jordan Akins, when Thomas went out, Akins became maybe the best player on the field some days. So you've got those three guys that are outstanding, and then you've got Waring, who you drafted in the third round. You're not kicking him to the curb in any way, shape, or form. You can't subject him to waivers because somebody will snap him up and do something with him. So, okay, do you put him on IR? Is this whatever he is dealing with? Is that going to put him on IR? And then you got Jarrell Adams, who has been as good as every other tight end. I want to keep all five because all five of them have done so well. I want to reward guys that have done it and that will continue to do it. And those guys have all done it and will continue to do it, and they fit well together. Problem is, numbers aren't going to let you do it. I think they keep four, and that makes either Jarrell Adams the odd man out, or it forces them to put Waring on IR and maybe keep Adams as the fourth guy. I don't know if they'll do that. I think if they're going to put Waring on IR, I think they'll keep three tight ends and maybe keep a player in a different position, even though Jarrell has been fantastic and I would hate to see him go. And the one team that I think would take a look at Jarrell Adams is the New England Patriots, because he knows the verbiage. He's been exceptional, and the Patriots need tight ends. And I would absolutely hate to see that guy up in New England, but you just get to a numbers crunch, and something's got to give. And that might end up being Jarrell Adams, and I hate that because he's been one of the top players in this entire training camp.
Hey, really appreciate the time here, John. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you on the practice field tomorrow.
Absolutely, boys. Glad you're back, Rick. Good talking to you, boys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.